welcome back again. You're listening to Breakthrough Thinking, the magazine, every Thursday from 2 to 4. And we have Greg Isaac in studio, along with Joseph Erdo.
Or, as Greg would say,
Iardo.
I like how you say it better, Greg.
Iardo.
Do you have a preference?
I prefer Erdo, but my dad probably prefers Iardo.
It sounds so like more sophisticated, Iardo.
Yeah, it does.
Or like Italian.
Yeah.
Is it Italian?
It is, yeah.
Oh,
so
neat.
We could put, maybe if I got my PhD, I could be a Dr. Iardo. Maybe a villain, right?
Oh, that would be good.
Iardo.
Iardo. Can we, maybe we should, what do you think? Should we brand them as Iardo?
Iardo. Yo, Iardo, over here.
Yeah, I'd have to change my voice.
Yeah, come on over. Yeah. I don't know. That sounds, did that even sound Italian?
No.
Okay, so anyway, again, thank you to Jeff Simpson, the director for A Liar's Autobiography, The Untrue Story of Monty Python's Graham Chapman, and Epic's Channel.
Yeah, playing tomorrow night.
I think that sounds like it's pretty good. That's going to be a pretty good movie.
Animated, 3D, you know.
And it may be in certain select movies.
It's in select theaters as well, yeah.
Would that be like, what's it called, in Scottsdale?
Camelview?
Yeah, that one.
Yeah, possibly.
Could be, huh? All right, we'll check that out.
Yeah.
Anyway, that was nice. Calling all the way from London.
Yeah.
It's got to be, what,
in
the morning?
Nine, he said. Yeah, 9.
Oh,
20.
9?
Yeah.
9 in the morning?
No,
or
I think
9
at night.
At night. 7 hour.
Past my bedtime.
Yes, and he'll be staying tuned for Tuesday's election results. We'll see what happens. We already know what people in England, who they want. Especially, I'm not going to get political. Okay.
Well, I think we agree with them, though.
Yeah.
Speaking of winners, right, winners and losers.
Yes.
We've got a contest. We'll mention a couple times here during the broadcast. But it's Rise of the Guardians. This is a new movie coming out for the holidays. It comes out the day before Thanksgiving.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, it comes out the day before Thanksgiving, but we're going to give listeners a chance to see it as early as next Saturday. Not 2 days from now, but next Saturday, November 10th at AMC Desert Ridge. I've got a contest going on right now on examiner.com. People can visit this. I'm going to give you a link. So if you got a piece of paper, I'm going to give you a second here.
But qualified if they're driving.
If you're driving, then don't grab the piece of paper and pen.
Or pull over safely, and the key word is safely.
Or make sure you have good insurance.
Oh, that's really good.
Yeah. So, but you go to this link, and then I want you to send me an email. My email address is on there. Send me an email with your name and the answer to the following question. Which legendary holiday character from the movie, there's several, there's Santa Claus, the Easter Bunny, the Sandman, and Tooth Fairy, Jack Frost, a few others, is most inspiring to you and why? You answer that question, I'll put you in as a chance to win this family four-pack of tickets to the screening. There's also a link on that website that you can visit and print passes. Seating is first come, first served, but hey, it's worth a try. So you print these passes. The link is http :// D as in dog, OIOP as in pat, .com/ Rise Guardians, one word. That's DOIOP.com/ Rise Guardians, one word.
And this is when is the screening?
The screening is on November 10th.
November 10th.
Yeah, Saturday morning, 10 a.m. at AMC Desert Ridge.
Oh.
You've been out there.
Yes, I have. Yeah. I saw one of the Pirates movies out there in Desert Ridge AMC, and I love the Yard House. Have you been there?
The Yard House, yes.
How about Macaroni Grill?
That one's a great one, too. Small portions, you know. We were talking about hamburgers last time. I like, you know, I go for more of those, the bag of fries that they fill up with fries.
Like Five Guys.
Yeah, versus a couple of raviolis on the plates.
Yeah.
Pretty.
Here's your $20 ravioli.
Did you try Five Guys
ravioli
yet?
I still haven't.
Oh, man.
I've got to. Because, you know, I
it
love
really
In-N-Out,
good.
So I got to compare In-N-Out and Five Guys. That's the thing.
Well,
do.
Five Guys is more expensive, yet I think the quality is probably a bit better. And
really?
The fries are ridiculous. I mean, you order like a small and it turns into be like a week's of shopping. I mean, they give it in a cup and then they pour in another scoop right in the bag.
And this is amazing because you just said the quality is better than In-N-Out. And as many know, Dave has been going to In-N-Out for the last 75 years. And
it's just even when before it started.
Yeah, no, just phenomenal. But, no, I definitely
I do like
In-N-Out
too, though.
Oh,
that
In-N-Out's one of the greatest.
It is good.
Oh, yeah.
Well, we should have a In-N-Out Five Guys contest.
Yeah. absolutely.
The founders in studio battle it out. Mm-hmm. The challenge of the hamburger. Remember the Pepsi challenge?
Mm-hmm.
Which one is it? And then we blindfold ourselves, and then we have a bite of In-N-Out, and we have a bite of Five Guys, mm-hmm. and see which one if we like better. You want to do it?
I think that's an excellent idea.
Oh, okay.
If anything, I just got a free burger.
That's
two free burgers.
Yeah, but we don't want to say that. They won't come in. No, we just said it. But anyway, so let's go over this again. So November 10th, Rise of the Guardians. The link again. Let's do the link one more time.
It is DOIOP.com/RiseGuardians.
And the family four-pack to see this particular screening on November 12th.
Yes.
It'll be released on the day before Thanksgiving.
November 10th is the screening. The day that it comes out, the day before Thanksgiving. So if you don't see it here, if you don't see it thanks to us, you're going to have to wait until...
And pay.
Yeah, you're going to have to
wait
and you're going to pay. So you can still go and you can print passes and you can still see it for free, but you know you won't get the VIP treatment. So
what is a VIP treatment? Tell us about that.
Well, you got reserved seats and you know I got people knowing your name. And otherwise,
oh, wow.
Otherwise, you're just a pass holder.
And will you give autographs?
Autographs?
Yeah, you.
Me? I won't be at that screen.
I Ardle.
They won't even let
I
me
Ardle.
See it.
They won't let
me see. You're luckier than me. Whoever wins these passes, they're luckier than me.
Wow, and then how do they win again? They have to name their favorite.
Yeah, you send me your name as along with which legendary holiday character from the movie is most inspiring to you and why. You know, maybe Santa Claus for his charitability or the Easter Bunny just because he can hop real high. I don't know. I don't, you know, why it's inspiring to you.
What is Rise of the Guardians? What's it about?
It's an animated movie from DreamWorks Animation. Jude Law plays an evil spirit who lays down the gauntlet to take over the world, and all these legendary holiday characters.
Oh.
So Santa Claus, Easter Bunny, all them. They're voiced by Chris Pine, Alec Baldwin. I know you like him.
Oh, yeah.
Hugh Jackman, Isla Fisher. They join forces to protect the hopes, beliefs, and imagination of children all over the world.
What's her name, Fisher? What's her
Isla
name?
Fisher.
I love
Isla.
Her.
Yeah, she's
Mrs.
really
Borat.
Pretty.
She was in the wedding.
Wedding Crashers.
Oh,
Wedding Crashers?
Was she was fantastic.
We all wanted to be in Vince Vaughn's place for that movie.
That was a. Wasn't she good?
She was great, yeah.
I thought she'd be a huge star after
that
acting.
She was pretty good. She's married to Sacha Baron Cohen. And
she was just in.
She is?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
She was just in Bachelorette.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I think a couple other movies recently.
She loved his Borat mustache. You know, that's
yeah.
That's what won
her
over.
I had no idea. Yeah, that was a. I love the Wedding Crashers. How about you, Joseph?
Yeah, I loved Wedding Crashers. Was an excellent
big
film.
Thumbs up.
Oh, big thumbs up, yeah.
That was really, really good. Okay, so we got a contest going on. We'll announce it a few more times. During this next half hour. Now, we have some box office action. A lot of great movies out right now, and the leader is who?
Yeah, it was actually Argo, which has been out a few weeks already.
$12.1 million in revenue.
Yeah, it's big. I mean, it's got a really strong hold. And what's interesting about that is there was a lot of new releases last week. We'll review some of those coming up, and maybe there's some maybe I have some ideas as to why they didn't do so well. But you know, you had Cloud Atlas, Silent Hill Revelation 3D, Fun Size, Chasing Mavericks. They all underperformed, with the first two earning only under $10 million, while the latter two didn't even crack the top 10.
Oh, that's not good.
That's pretty bad.
Especially if you're the producer hoping for a revenue share.
Yeah.
Right? That's not good.
Yeah. No, but, you know, what is good, Skyfall, which opens here, I think, next weekend, not this weekend, but next weekend, the new James Bond 007 movie overseas, so in London, so Jeff Simpson could see this already. It has taken in over $77 million in its first few days, with $32 million coming from the United Kingdom alone. So it's opening in other territories. It's already open there.
Oh, that's fantastic. So that should be big out here.
I think that'll be big. So it's, you know, we've got a lot of movies opening this weekend as well. So everyone just wants to stay clear of Skyfall when it opens next weekend here, because they know what it's doing in other territories.
Well, what's interesting is November, there's a lot of blockbusters coming out.
Yes.
I mean, we still have Twilight coming out, what, the 16th?
Yeah, mm-hmm. The 16th.
So is that... That's probably Friday, but don't they usually show a 12 a.m. Thursday
midnight showing?
Midnight showing. Mm-hmm. And last year they usually show the prior Twilight films. Are they going to do that? Do you know?
Yeah, they got one going on at Harkins. I think a few of their theaters are doing it. The Ultra Star Theater over in Scottsdale, and I think they're also doing it over in Surprise. And I think that some of the AMCs might be doing it as well. So
that's incredible. I mean, you'd have to start what, around noon or something?
I think by this point, yeah, they're not. They're
would
not
you do that?
Movies.
Is that something you'd like to do?
No.
So that's four movies before, right? Isn't this the
yeah,
fifth
this
one?
Is the fifth yeah? one. Yeah, this is part two of the fourth one. Sure. So technically, the fifth, but kind of part of the fourth.
Is
but
this
yeah.
for is this for people that just don't have good memories or something? And they don't remember the first four?
No, these are people that go out and they dress up as the characters and stuff.
Oh,
put
they
the,
do?
Put the vampire glitter on.
Now, who did... which one... Have you seen all the first four?
Yes, I have.
Which one's your favorite so far?
My favorite is this last one. I know other people didn't like it. The part one...
The fourth
break,
one. Oh,
yeah.
You like that one the best?
Yes, I like that one the best because it was more concentrated on the birth of... I don't want to spoil it for people who haven't seen it or are going to see it at the marathon.
But. Yeah, that's right. Yeah, that's right. And oh, great.
But very important question. Team Jacob, Team Edward?
Yes, good question. We should have a contest around that, too.
Team Bella.
There you go. I'm Team Rosalie myself.
Okay.
Oh, I like, who do I like, Greg? That other girl. Green.
Ashley Green?
Yeah, what's her name in the...
I don't know. That's
Alice.
Alice.
Alice, okay.
Yeah. Well, how come you don't like Alice?
I do, but there's something about Rosalie, though.
Really?
Yeah.
That's Nikki
Summer. Reed, yeah.
Mm-hmm. She was in, that sort of controversial movie with... she won Best Actress. Boys Don't Cry. Wasn't she in that? Nikki Reed.
I don't recall.
I don't think so. I believe she started out when she
wrote
13.
Oh, no. Yeah, you're right.
The movie 13, but I don't think she won an Academy Award.
Oh, you're right.
That,
she looks like the girl from Big Love who was in... who's in Big Love?
I don't know. I don't have cable.
Oh, really? That's a weird series. It was actually pretty good. I got addicted to it.
I haven't watched it either, but...
Oh, okay. Never mind. Anyway, so I like the first one better of Twilight.
Okay, that works.
Yeah. How about you, Greg? You've seen them all, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
We were eating popcorn one time watching one of them.
We were, and I took a nap. And I like them all. The second one's a little slow, the New Moon. I would say it's a tie between the first one and probably the most recent one that came out. And then right behind that would be Eclipse. New Moon, though, the second one, not horrible, but I did think it was a little slow.
Was that the one when she went to Rome?
Yeah.
I agree. That wasn't, they changed directors from the first on.
Yeah.
I love the first. The first one was.
And then, the Jacob, obviously he met Barry Bonds and he gave him some tips on how to gain some weight. And all of a sudden, this little skinny kid
that,
3 months later is. But
they've done pretty well, those people.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, no, that's really turned them into stars. I mean, they already, a lot of them were already in a way well known, but it's really obvious.
Oh, this really. All right, so I liked how you said turn them, because that's one of the words, should we turn you?
Yes.
You get it?
Yeah.
All right. Okay, so back to Joseph.
Well, another one of the biggest news of this past week is Disney bought Lucasfilm, so the Star Wars franchise and everything else that comes along with it.
That is big news.
That is big news. It was a $4.05 billion deal. I don't have that, do you?
No. I don't even have the four on any account.
The 0.05.
A billion.
Yeah, that's a lot of money. And it's roughly the same amount that they spent on the Marvel rights to all, the Iron Man and all that. It's about half of what they spent on Pixar.
Is that right?
Yeah, so they've made some really big deals, Disney. I mean, they've always been big, but now they have secured themselves as being a monster house, not just a mouse house.
What? Yeah, I like that.
Now, what I would like if they have at Disneyland now Princess Leia in her outfit from Return of the Jedi, I think they got to go that direction.
I think that they definitely will.
Yeah. Yeah. I like it.
Well, and they're making a new Star Wars trilogy, so that, it's probably not too far off. Yeah.
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 A remake?
Not a remake. Episode, what's the episode now?
Oh, I forgot where
Harrison
we're at.
Ford will be in?
I was never really a big fan. I've seen all of them, but I've never really been a big fan, except obviously the scene with Princess Leia. But
So no Harrison Ford.
No, well, who knows? You never know. They're not. These aren't prequels. They're going to be sequels. So
yeah.
He might come back. Who knows what they're going to do?
Well, if Clint Eastwood,
I think they would be
talk to a
7,
chair,
8, and 9. I believe. Yeah.
Oh, Tom liked that one. I'm just saying, if Clint Eastwood could talk to a chair horse, Harrison Ford could pretend he's an actor. Okay,
yeah.
He was actually a good actor. I liked him in.
He's still doing well.
What was that one? He was an attorney and. Didn't get great reviews, but what about Regarding Henry?
Okay.
Love that movie.
A little bit older movie, right?
Oh, I'm dating myself. But I save on popcorn because I could have all of it when I date myself. Okay. So anyway, back to Joseph.
All right. And you've seen this movie at Best Exotic Marigold Hotel, right?
I did see that.
It was out earlier this year.
Yeah.
Might be one of the Oscar contenders. Some,
yeah.
Some big names in it. Judi Dench and Bill Nye. Not the science guy, the other Bill Nye.
Yeah.
Maggie Smith and Dev Patel.
Yeah.
They all want to come back for a sequel. They're going to make a sequel to this movie. And I don't. One of them died in the movie. I'm not going to tell you which one, but I don't. Apparently he wants to come back too.
Really?
I don't know.
Reincarnation. Yeah,
possibly, right?
Wow.
Hey, it's India.
Yeah, that's right. Good point.
So,
yeah, that was an interesting movie, but I guess. I know it got good reviews, mm-hmm. but I don't know if it hit me in a profound way, though.
Yeah, it didn't work for me. There wasn't very much of a conflict. It was just watching these aging people interact with one another, and you know, you can go down to a old folks' home and do that.
Yeah, that's
sort less of money, right?
Yeah, no doubt about it. But well, that'll be interesting. Maybe the sequel will be. You know, with action film.
Yeah.
Okay.
And now Arnold Schwarzenegger, he's returning for Legend of Conan. Remember that, the Conan franchise?
Yeah, the Legend of Conan. And there's another, he already signed another movie. This is something, Joseph, you may not have heard. But not only the Legend of Conan, it's something about Meet the Housekeepers. And, okay, back to you.
Well, that would, you know what? That might be a little bit bigger of a movie.
Yes.
Yeah, that was a big housekeeper.
Yes. It's, you know, this is apparently ignores the events in the 1984 sequel Conan the Destroyer. It's a direct sequel to the original Conan the Barbarian. Needless to say, it also completely ignores last year's Conan flick, which was definitely not Skyfall.
That's right.
To continue on with Schwarzenegger, off the air we were talking about another movie he's coming up in. And that is the Last Stand.
Last Stand.
Be in. We knew that it was called The Last. It got away from our memory a bit, but yeah. The
oh,
last
you thought
stand.
It was The Last Man Standing?
Yeah, that's Tim Allen. That's a
yeah,
Tim
there
Allen
you go,
show.
The TV show. but coming out in January, so a couple months away from Arnold Schwarzenegger and Forrest Whitaker. So
oh, really?
Pretty good.
Excellent.
Yeah.
All right. Good. So, and is that the
that's what
the
we've
news?
Got for the news? Yeah.
All right. Then good news roundup. Now, why don't we do a couple? Movie reviews.
Reviews of okay. These are movies that opened last weekend.
Yeah.
They didn't do so well at the box office. The one that did the best of them is Cloud Atlas. It was the biggest release. I think it was number 3 at the box office.
It was number 2 last week. 9.61 million, right under Argo. Of course, we said that was 12.1 million. So.
And this was a big, big budget movie. I don't know exactly how much it was made for, but this is like a nearly 3-hour-long movie. Got a lot of big stars. Tom Hanks, Halle Berry, Jim Sturgess, a lot of people in this movie. It's made from by the Wachowski siblings who made this The Matrix. I thought it was a terrible, terrible movie.
Really?
There are 6 stories in the first place, and I think you know you have to be you have to have attention deficit disorder in order to enjoy this movie because literally every story changes. The stories change every few seconds. I mean, you're watching one story for 10 seconds, and then they switch, and then they go 7 seconds to another story, and then they go do 30 seconds of another story, and it's really hard to focus
to follow.
On. Yeah. Yeah, it's based on a book, and I guess in the book they did it in chronological order, which makes a lot more sense. I wish they would have done it. I might have been able to follow it. You know, I'm giving it only 2 mags, I think what we're calling
them,
right?
2 zines.
2 zines? Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
We were thinking of mags, right?
I think so.
But 2
There's 2 of them, whatever
it is. Yeah, 2 zines. So only 2 zines out of 5.
Out of 5, yes.
Wow, and there were some pretty good reviews. Actually, if you look on... The internet, I think it shows that a lot of people like it, good percentages.
Yeah, two of my colleagues walked out saying that they can't see a universe where this would not be on their best list. I told them that I can't see, you know, if I made a worst list, this would be on it.
Wow, why isn't it one zine? Or no zines?
Because, you know, there's a lot of money. So I felt bad.
Or screen zines. Okay, that's okay. Well, I'm going to have to see that. I'll probably see it this weekend and see what I think of it. But who knows?
Yeah.
2 hours and 43 minutes or something?
Something like that, yeah.
That's a lot of popcorn.
Yeah, that's a lot of popcorn.
Right? Do you eat popcorn when you...
Yeah, I do. Yeah.
Get
a
soda?
Yeah, no butter because it's fattening.
And do you take notes?
I don't take notes. Some of my colleagues take notes. I find that distracting when they're taking notes. If you can't remember it, I mean... You know, try to enjoy the movie, you know?
Yeah. Well, I agree. I think that's the best way to do it. Okay, what's the next movie review?
Now, we've got Chasing Mavericks, which was a surfing movie we talked a little bit about last week.
That's right.
That one's also not very good. This has got Gerard Butler in it, a kid named Johnny Weston. It's based on a true story. And I didn't like this at all. It was cheesy. It's almost 2 hours long. The end, it's just a very strange ending, even though it's true. It's just a little bit odd. And it's cheesy and boring. I'm also giving this one two zines.
Two zines?
Yeah.
Is that like a D?
That's a D, yes.
Yeah, because, two zines out of five. Wow, okay. And Gerard Butler usually is pretty good. I've seen him in a couple of good movies. How about you, Greg?
I've liked him. I mean, obviously 300, was good.
Yeah, but some comedies.
Some of the comedies. A movie in particular, I don't know if this was the greatest movie ever, but the one where he's on TV, it's with Katherine Heigl.
The Ugly Truth.
Yeah, I thought he was hilarious
that was funny.
In that.
Yeah. That was a good movie. I liked it.
It was all right. I wish it was a little bit raunchier. I wanted to be more of a guy.
Yeah,
chick
exactly.
It wasn't that
it was
raunchy.
A bit of a chick flick, but I thought he was pretty good in
it.
It
was good, yeah. Okay, so that's a two zine. So far we've got two zines and two zines. Okay.
And, you know, why don't we just stick with the two zines for fun size?
It's really?
Also not very good. This one did terribly at the box office as well. Kind of a Halloween-themed movie made by Nickelodeon. Victoria Justice stars as a high school senior who she gets invited to a Halloween party and loses her brother in the sea of trick-or-treaters. And so she and some friends, some of them are her friends, some of them are just people she doesn't like, but she thinks that they can help her find her brother. They go out to find this little boy and meet some other interesting characters. It's an entertaining film thanks to its high energy spirit. But it was just, it was shallow and the characters were just all angst ridden. I didn't like some of the characters at all. There's this one girl, Jane Levy, she's in this TV show, Suburbia, and I can't stand her. In the movie, she was just terrible. She was just your teen angst teenager.
Yeah.
And, you know, didn't want to root for any of these characters.
Now, I didn't see this one yet, Fun Size. However, is this somewhat like Don't Tell Mom the Babysitter's Dead?
It kind of is. Adventures in Babysitting, kind of that.
Yeah, something like that.
Yeah.
Although Elizabeth Shue is really nice.
Yeah, she is. Okay. Yes.
Yeah.
But, yeah, so some of those are just sort of corny, right?
Yeah.
That's what you're thinking?
Yeah.
But Home Alone was good, right?
Home Alone was excellent, yeah.
That's what
I
thought.
Home Alone. I think something I noticed is that, as you mentioned, was distributed by Nickelodeon, is that they probably should have gone one way or another. A PG-13 rating, it sort of only applies to that kind of a 10, 11-year-old to 15-year-old type audience. It might be too much for the little kids, yet, you know, us people that like the raunchier movies want to see a rated R version, basically.
I'm glad you mentioned that because, you know, at the screening, I didn't know what to take away from this movie. If it was a little kids movie or if it was a teenager movie, some of the jokes in it were definitely inappropriate for kids.
Oh.
Yet at the same time, some of the jokes were too childish for I would say, anyone over the age of, you know, 9 or 10.
Right, right.
So the rating's real important to let at least parents know what's going on.
I think with Nickelodeon, too, I believe before that they'd only had one other PG-13 movie they've ever distributed. But I think with something like this, they should have gone either raunchier and try to get it rated R and maybe different distribution company or... I don't know how they would have done that, but
yeah,
or maybe go a little less just because the audience, you would think, like you kind of said, you know, it's only a couple year... you know, one little group of people that would really like to see that, probably between age 10, 11, yeah. and maybe 15 yeah. tops. And the raunchiest part, of course, is having Thomas Mann in it, who, of course, was a main character in Project X.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I didn't see the movie, but Project X was pretty raunchy.
I don't that remember
was,
that.
That was definitely worse than Cloud Atlas.
Oh, you thought?
Oh, wow.
That didn't even, as a movie.
Yeah.
It wasn't even a movie.
You didn't think it was entertaining?
No, not at all. I thought it was.
His friend was a little annoying in that. But
yeah, the whole movie.
That's
no.
a zero zine.
That was a zero zine.
Negative zines. Okay, so then yeah. we have one more. You're going to review Pusher.
Pusher is about a drug dealer who grows increasingly desperate over the course of a week after a botched deal lands him in the merciless clutches of a ruthless crime lord. This is pretty good. The unfortunate thing about it is it just adheres to the drug pusher genre.
Yeah.
I mean, I guess how far can you get, you know, when it's called Pusher? But
yeah.
I'm giving it a C, so three zines.
Three zines.
Middle of the road, but it is entertaining. It's entertaining, but not, maybe creative enough.
Yeah.
They could have done something else with it. It's a remake of Nicholas Winding Refn, I think that's how you pronounce his name, a movie from a few years ago. He's the guy who directed Drive.
Okay, gotcha.
Last year.
Was that with Stallone? Drive?
No, Drive.
That was Driven.
Yeah.
Oh, I was one letter off. Okay. That's close.
Yeah, this is Ryan Gosling. It was actually my favorite movie of last year.
He's coming out with a new movie, Gangster Squad.
Gangster Squad, yes.
Have you seen that yet?
I haven't seen that yet, no.
That looks sort of good.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
A good cast. You got Josh Brolin, I think?
I think so, yeah.
And, you know, he broke up, Ryan Gosling, with... Rachel McAdams.
Yeah.
Very sad.
Yes.
She's
just
cute.
Heartbreaking, right?
I know.
I will say this with Gosling. You guys might laugh, but I thought that Crazy Stupid Love was awesome.
Yeah.
You remember
Steve Carell? I saw
that. Emma Stone.
Oh, I thought that was good.
I thought it was hilarious. Did you like that?
Yeah, I
liked
that.
Hilarious,
I thought it was
hilarious, but it was interesting.
I thought it was fun. Anything with Steve Carell.
Yeah, Steve Carell.
Maybe a three zine, right?
I think that one might have been a four for me.
Yeah.
Oh, a four?
Yeah.
Well, I took it,
it was good how they put the story together, I thought. It was unique.
Yeah, it was good. I'd go three zine with, and then I ate some cuisine. You know, it's in the frozen section. Okay. All right.
You
not
know,
good.
You've got to work with Dave on his humor.
Yes.
you want to do some additional interviews?
Yes. Yeah. Oh, yeah. We didn't play some of those. Of course, you want to run by? Well, maybe we'll do the DVD reviews next week.
Yeah, we can do those next week.
Yeah.
We'll talk about one of the DVDs that's coming out. But let's talk about The Bay. We've got an actor. I got a chance to talk to him earlier in the week, and his name is Jody Thompson.
Yeah.
He's been in a few other movies, Sweet Home Alabama, We Are Marshall, and The Blind Side. And now he's in this movie called The Bay, which is a found footage movie, which opens up next week. It opens up tomorrow in theaters. And it's a found footage movie about a mysterious parasitic outbreak. So, again, found footage, some of things are ad-libbed here. But I asked him what was the most surprising thing that happened on the set. And here's what he's got to say. This is Jody Thompson from The Bay.
There's actually one scene we did where they had a perimeter set up around the outside of where we were shooting, where traffic obviously couldn't get through. But somehow a car got through. So this is a real pedestrian in a car driving up. We had a dead body on the side of the road. And he comes pulling up. And just had a panic look on his face. And I did not break character at all. I was just like, move along, son. He's like, what's going on? I was like, we got it under control. Just move along, son. He may to this day still think that he pulled up on a body.
Yeah, so
that is hysterical.
That is. It's neat that he didn't break character. And, you know, I can't imagine what this guy's thinking.
That's funny. I won't admit this, but I remember some of my friends, I guess I am, long ago in like junior high, they told me of a story where they pretended one of their friends, you know, was dead. and he laid down on the curb, and a car went by, and the guy just stood right up, ran away, scared the heck out of the people. I go, wow, you guys must be in junior high. That is no fun. Anyway.
Well, I remember in college, since you mentioned that, I was dressing up, I think I mentioned this last week, going down Mill and everyone's dressed as weird things.
Oh, yeah.
I was standing in the bathroom putting some red makeup on my throat like I was a suicide victim for Halloween, and so that I could walk down Mill. And this guy in the dorm walked into the bathroom, saw me, and thought that I was actually killing myself.
Oh,
and,
my.
And he almost passed out. He looked so scared. I felt so bad for him. I said, no, it's all right. And he says, oh, should I get help? He goes, are you all right? And I said, no, it's just paint. And
let me talk you down.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh. So, that you should be an actor.
Yeah, I'd love to.
Okay, so how about, so we got that, and you have what, another?
He's an actor, he's a writer, he's a director, he's a rapper. You might know this guy, his name is RZA. I didn't know that, I thought it was RZA. I'm not hip on the rap slang, but his name is RZA. He was in Coffee and Cigarettes. He was in the Wu-Tang Clan. He was in Derailed. And now he's got this new movie coming out called The Man with the Iron Fists. Again, this comes out tomorrow. It's about a blacksmith played by RZA who has been forced by radical tribal factions to create elaborate tools of destruction channels. He channels an ancient energy to transform himself into a human weapon. This also stars Russell Crowe and Lucy Liu, so some interesting people in this.
Oh, yeah, I saw the previews of this.
Yeah, it looks like a lot of fun. Produced by Quentin Tarantino, and Eli Roth had a hand in the script. But so this is RZA on why he decided to make a martial arts movie.
I think there's a gap there, and that's the reason why my first film is a martial arts film. Maybe my second one will be too, but I'm not sure, but my first one had to be that, because that's how I started in my whole career, was assimilation of martial art music with American ideas, which is, for me, American ideas is hip-hop and urban life, you know what I mean? But I do think there's a bright future in it, because I think Kill Bill sparked a big fire that still has some sparks in it. And if we kindle it, you know, we can have one of these movies once a year or once every 2 years, and it'll be good investments for the studio. And Iron Fist, is a test to see if it is a good investment for the studio.
Yeah, so
RZA, wow.
Yeah, RZA, and he's actually already, just this week, he signed on for a couple new movies. He will be directing a Genghis Khan biopic, and he's also going to direct The Warriors, action thriller No Man's Land. So he's,
Wow, I like Genghis Grill.
I do.
You've been there?
Yeah, I've been
there. How about you, Greg?
I have.
Okay. Joseph said, I do. You said, I have. And I said, I'm there all the time. Okay. So, well, we got that and any others.
Yeah. Now, on DVD is Ruby Sparks. This is a movie that came out earlier this year. Again, now it's on DVD and Blu-ray. And let's see. It's Paul Dano plays a young novelist who achieved phenomenal success early in his career, but he's now struggling with his writing as well as his romantic life. Finally, he makes a breakthrough and creates a character played by Zoe Kazan who inspires him. Mm. However, when he finds said character in the flesh, she comes to real life. She's sitting on the couch. He's completely flabbergasted. He has this relationship with her. Is she this perfect woman? I don't know. But anyway, she is Zoe Kazan. She acts in this movie. She stars in it. And she was also the writer of the screenplay. And she was also in It's Complicated. And she was in
great movie.
Yeah, great movie. She was also in Happy, Thank You, More, Please last year. Another movie that was on my best list last year.
Wow.
So, I got a chance to talk to Zoe Kazan from Ruby Sparks, and this is what she had to say on how she came up with the idea for the movie.
Excellent.
I think inspiration comes from strange places. You know, for me on this, I was coming home from work one night, and it was dark, and there was a garbage pile, and there was a mannequin sticking out of it. And I thought it was a person, and it scared me. And I don't know why, but that made me think of the Pygmalion myth about the sculptor whose statue comes to life because he loves it so much. And I thought of him, like, in his dark studio, turning his head and thinking he sees the statue move. And that image somehow burned into my brain, and I woke up in the next morning with Calvin and Ruby and the sort of seeds of this idea in my mind.
Yeah.
Wow. See, this is a big cast, too.
A great cast, yeah. Paul Dano, of course, from The Girl Next Door and Little Miss Sunshine, and
yeah.
Annette Bening, Antonio Banderas, and one of my favorites, Steve Coogan.
Elliot Gould. Remember Elliot?
I do.
Yeah.
MASH.
Yeah.
Wow. This God, this could be great. We'll have to get her live because I just she was the young daughter in It's Complicated. Did a nice job.
Yes. Yeah. And what's interesting is she's in a relationship with Paul Dano, who's also in this movie. He how she got this movie made is she was in this relationship with Paul Dano. Paul Dano, of course, starred in Little Miss Sunshine. Yeah. So he read the script, said, you know what, let me show it to the directors of Little Miss Sunshine, Jonathan Dayton and Valerie Faris. And I also got a chance to talk to them. And so the directors, Jonathan Dayton, Valerie Faris of Ruby Sparks, this is what they had to say on their movie's tonal fluctuations.
That's the thing, is that life isn't divided into, you
genres,
know, I'm now
you know?
Going to live my romantic comedy life for the next
and,
2 weeks.
And if it is, it's a nightmare. Like, you know, if your life becomes a horror film, you don't want to be in that, you know.
So yeah, we feel
we
like
those shifts in tone or in feeling, really, because I think, you know, life is full of, you know, contrasting feelings, and that's what makes it interesting, so.
And life is like that, right?
Yeah, it's not... I wrote that down. Life, if life becomes a horror film, you don't want to be in it. That's sort of a cool statement.
Yeah, well, especially Zoe Kazan. I wonder when she saw that mannequin in the dumpster. Maybe it was that dead guy on the side of the road for the bay. And
that's
the
right.
guy said, just move
or
along.
Or it
could have
been one
along.
Of my friends from junior high.
Yeah.
Either one. Wow, that is so cool. Wow, we're coming up to the end of the show, though. I don't know, Tommy, how much time do we have left? And here is official word. We have 3.5 minutes left. Do you want to go over some of the releases or name the releases?
Yeah, we can name the releases so people know what's coming out, what to look forward to, and we can, you know, talk more about them next week when we can actually review them. Of course, I said there's The Bay that's playing exclusively at Harkins Valley Art, and The Man with the Iron Fists, that's playing everywhere. Another movie to look for, playing exclusively at the Harkins Shea 14, is The Details. This stars Tobey Maguire, kind of a suburban black comedy. Elizabeth Banks is in it as well, Laura Linney, and Ray Liotta, right?
Ray Liotta.
Yeah.
And we gave away passes to this last week, Flight, starring Denzel Washington. He plays a seasoned airline pilot who is hailed as a hero after a miraculous crash. After he crash lands his plane, and then there's an investigation, and maybe he's at fault, maybe he's not. There's also Little Red Wagon, which is playing exclusively at Harkins Superstition Springs 25. This is a true story about an 8-year-old boy who sets out to help homeless children in America in the wake of Hurricane Charlie by walking across the country. And then The Sessions, this might be one of the Oscar movies. John Hawks plays a man who at age 38 is determined to lose his virginity despite being confined to an iron lung. With the help of his therapist, played by Helen Hunt, and the guidance of his priest, William H. Macy, he sets out to make his dream come true. So this is an interesting film, right? Just by the, you know, synopsis of it. Wreck-It Ralph is an animated movie, finally. This has the voice of John C. Reilly. He's a video game villain who, tired of playing the role of a bad guy, takes matters into his own massive hands and sets off on a journey across the arcade through every generation of video game to prove that he's got what it takes to be a hero.
Nice. A lot of nice releases coming out, and, of course, some blockbusters after that.
Yes.
That we talked about, Twilight and a couple others, Greg.
And if you see, look at Wreck-It Ralph, you'll notice that Ralph looks exactly like John C. Reilly.
Yeah.
Oh, is that? Oh, and then, the contest. Let's repeat that real quick, how you can
win contest,
tickets.
The contest, go to DOIOP.com/RiseGuardians. Again, DOIOP.com/RiseGuardians, one word. Win a family four-pack of tickets. You send me what legendary holiday character from Rise of the Guardians is most inspiring to you and why. You can see the movie not this Saturday, but next Saturday. It tells you all the information on that link, how to get the tickets, how to win the tickets, or you can print the passes and take your chances in line. Again, all free.
Sounds great.
Yeah.
This hour went really quickly, and Joseph Erdo.
Yes.
See, I did it right.
Erdo.
No, Erdo. Thank you so much. We'll see you next week.
Absolutely.
And we'll have more At the Movies, not the trade name At the Movies, but you know what I'm saying. Movies. We're going to do movie reviews. Stay tuned for Conrad coming up, music and marketing. A lot of good stuff. We'll be right back.
Arizona Station, 1010 KXXT, Tolleson, Phoenix.
At Beerenbaum Baum and Spean PC, we want to help you work on your business, not in your business. We take a simple approach. You know your business. Our firm gives you the information to make those decisions better. Our firm takes a proactive approach to your accounting needs, and if you look behind the numbers, you'll find there are hidden opportunities that we try to impart on you. Communication is the key to that understanding, and there is no charge for brief phone calls. Contact us at 602-266-5633 or email us at mitch@jfbpc.com. Beerenbaum and Spean works to increase your understanding of your business in order to make the decisions necessary to move your business forward.
Ridenour, Hynten & Lewis is a multi-practice law firm, ideally equipped to assist with a broad range of legal and business issues, corporate and financial transactions, real estate, commercial, litigation, bankruptcy, and private client practice. Ridenour, Hynten & Lewis is a law firm that bases its practice on understanding the businesses of their clients, and they use this insight to meet each client's unique and evolving legal challenges. Call or click today, 602-254-9900. Find them on the web at rhkl-law.com.
Hopefully, you'll never have to experience a disaster such as a fire or a flood striking your home or business. But if you do, know there's someone out there who can quickly help you get life back to normal. That someone is ServiceMaster by Disaster Professionals. Just call 602-431-2222, and our professionals will be there to lend a hand. You can be confident knowing ServiceMaster Clean has over 50 years of experience restoring damaged homes and businesses after frightening events such as fires, floods, vandalisms, and other disasters. We can offer services such as emergency cleaning, smoke, soot, and odor removal, in addition to water and fire damage repair. Our solid reputation is the reason insurance companies nationwide know ServiceMaster Clean will get the job done quickly and professionally. Plus, we guarantee to do the work right the first time, or we'll do it over with no questions asked. That's ServiceMaster Clean. We're the company that's first to respond to your call, first to arrive on the scene, and first to guarantee relief. Because delays and hassles are the last thing you need. Remember, 602-431-2222 for ServiceMaster Clean by Disaster Professionals. And get the clean you expect and the service you deserve.
In today's environment, short sales, foreclosures, and bankruptcy seem to be the norm and not the exception. These events can be devastating emotionally as well as financially. But just when you thought it was over, you might start to wonder about the tax consequences of short sales, foreclosures, and bankruptcy. Tax law can be very complex, and it would be critical to understand the tax laws surrounding your situation. Call Dave Isaac, CPA and former government tax auditor, at 602-625-3074, 602-625-3074, to discuss your situation. He looks forward to talking with you.